I'm on there. All right. Well, good morning. And it's nice to, the first time I met Brother Rodney, he didn't have any hair. So it's nice to see you with hair. That looks great. Looks good. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. If you would like to go ahead and turn there. And I'll get my notes turned around the right way. We have been, like everybody else at West Park, we've been going through trying to figure this thing out with the COVID situation. And so we're, like you all, we're back to having services in a live way. We've had to change our service time several times. We've got back to one service. We were at two services. Now we're back to one service. But anyway, I really would covet your all's prayers for us. I lead the senior adult ministry. And so in especially considering the senior adults with COVID-19 risk, we have tried to be very cautious about when we get together. And I think all of our groups, our Sunday school classes and ABS and all that, probably plan on mid-August. But as you all know, we've had a rise in things lately, so we'll see how that works out. But I would covet your prayers for wisdom about our senior adult ministry in particular, because we want to be careful and make sure folks are safe and well taken care of, and at the same time getting the Word of God. So we're doing a lot of online things. But let's open by reading the passage. We're going to look in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 down through verse 10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we humbly ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher this morning, that he would lead us into all truth, that he would open our hearts and minds as we look into the Word of God to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear. And Father, I pray that you would touch all of our hearts with your Word. Help us to realize that we serve a living God who is all powerful. And there is nothing too hard for you. But help us, Lord, learn most of all that there is a message in that power. That message is to point people to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that that's what we would do this morning. We would point people to Jesus Christ. We would do it ourselves, and we would be involved with those who are doing the same. Lord, our world desperately needs a revival. We need hearts turned back to you. And Father, we pray that you would help us as your church to be committed to spreading the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I titled this, "A Miracle with a Message." Now, I believe all miracles have a message. But this miracle in particular was at a particular time, in a particular place, in a particular situation. And it was a message that God was using in this miracle to send out to Jerusalem through the Apostle Peter and John. God had them in the right time at the right place. Yeah. So this miracle has a message. It was a perfect situation for a miracle. Perfect situation. It says that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. This was a normal, routine thing for a Jewish person to do. You say, well, Peter and John are Christians now. Yes, but they're still Jews. And they are still practicing many of the same things. They're not doing the sacrifices anymore. They don't need that. The blood of Jesus took care of their sin. But they are still involved in worshiping God as Jewish men who have now come to faith in Christ. And so they are involved in daily prayer. It was the custom of that day for them to pray three times a day. They prayed in the morning at 9 a.m. They prayed at noon. And they prayed again in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And that was the time that these men were coming at that afternoon prayer time, 3 o'clock, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were coming to pray, and they were coming to the temple to pray. The Christians were gathering together in that prayer time. Many of them would go, and they would pray together in the temple. And so this is a routine thing. Peter and John are doing what they do every day. They're going to the temple to pray like they would do any other day. But on this day, they happened to walk by this man. This man who was described as a certain lame man from his mother's womb. We're told in chapter 4, verse 22, that this man was over 40 years old. So for over 40 years, he had been unable to walk. He never knew how to walk. He never knew what it was like to run and play with the other children when he was growing up. He never knew what it was like to work on a regular job because he didn't have the ability to walk. He never had the ability to walk. He just didn't know what that was like. He'd watched other people walk. But in that culture, if someone was lame in their legs like this and they were unable to walk, there wasn't anything really they could do to make a living. They didn't have desk jobs like we have today. If you couldn't walk, you couldn't work. There was nothing he could do. And so because of that, it says that they carried him, in verse 2, they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This was done on a daily basis. This was his life. Why did they do that? Because the only hope that he had to eat, the only hope that he had for his daily sustenance, was that somebody who was coming in to pray would give him money. That's what he means by an alms. It was a gift. He was asking for a gift, and people are coming to pray. And they're feeling particularly religious while they're coming to pray. They're feeling like they want to impress God. They want to do something that would please God. They may have great motives. They may have ulterior motives. But either way, people are more prone to give when they're on their way to church, right? They're on their way to give or on their way to pray, on their way to get involved with worship for God. And so they're going to be open to this. And that is why whoever it was when it says they, it could be his family, his friends, whoever, had been bringing him daily to this temple. So that means a couple things. It means that people in town knew who this man was because it was a normal thing for a Jewish person to go to the temple three times a day. If you went to the temple three times a day and you tended to go to the beautiful gate where this man was always laid, you would see him on a daily basis. And you would know who he was. You may even know his name. But if you didn't know his name, you'd say, oh, that's that guy. That's the guy who lays by the temple gate called Beautiful, and I see him whenever I go for prayer. Or maybe you tried some of the other gates sometimes. Once in a while, when you're on that side, you're going to see him. Everybody knows who this man is. That is pretty standard. That's what would happen in our town. If we drove by, I know I get off of the same exits on the interstate. You probably do the same thing. And I get off either Walker Springs exit or I get off at West Hills exit. And usually at Walker Springs, there's somebody asking for money. You ever notice that? There's always somebody. And you get to where if it's the same person, you kind of recognize that person. Seems like they rotate a little bit at Walker Springs. But you know, you get to notice people who are doing that. Well, that's exactly what was happening in Jerusalem. They were seeing this man on a regular basis. So people knew who he was. Now, this is part of why it's a perfect situation for a miracle. Because God was going to use this man and his testimony, a testimony that no one in the city could deny. He was going to use this testimony to open the door wide for the preaching of the gospel. And so it was a perfect situation for the miracle. He is laying there at the gate, and verse 3 says he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and so he asks for an alms, like he would anybody else. Now, we don't know if this man knew anything about Peter and John. We don't know if he knew who they were, that they were apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if they were just other people walking in the temple. You know, when you're the guy sitting there by the gate, everybody knows who you are, but you're not necessarily going to know who everybody else is. So Peter and John walk in, and he looks up, and he looks at them, and he says, "Alms." And what happens? Peter fastened his eyes on him. Peter focused on him. Peter looked intently at him. And Peter was a preacher. He was a non-working preacher. He didn't have any money. He was broke. He didn't have any money. But he looked at this man and he realized this man's need was not just money. Yes, he had a need so that he could eat every day. He had a need so that he could have a place to lay his head. He needed physical sustenance, but he needed something greater than that. That alms that people were giving to him on a basis, a daily basis, that was just a temporary fix. This man's problem had never gone away. All of his life, he had never been able to walk. And so when Peter sees him, obviously moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter utters these words. I love this verse. It's burned into my memory for some reason. Verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I want you to think about what Peter just said. First of all, he said, "I don't have any money. I don't have any money to give you. But I do have something that's worth more than money. I'm going to give you what I do have. And what I do have is the ability, the faith, to believe that God will restore your feet. That God will give you strength. That God will enable you to rise up and walk." Now, in our day and time, we have a phenomenon, and I think it's particularly popular in this country. I don't know that it works everywhere, with TV evangelists who like to be faith healers. And once in a while, you hear someone say, "Well, so-and-so wasn't healed because they didn't have enough faith." Well, have you noticed that Peter doesn't ask for this man's faith? He doesn't ask anything from this man. Peter relies on his own faith. He really relies on Christ. He's not relying on himself. But Peter speaks and reaches to this man, grabs him by the hand, and says, "Rise up and walk," and pulls on him till he stands up. Peter believes that God will do this miracle. He doesn't need that man's faith. He is trusting in his own God. He's trusting in Jesus Christ. Because he does this in the name of Jesus Christ. What does it mean, in the name of Jesus? I talk about this a lot at our church. Our folks probably get tired of me talking about this. But you know, we have a tradition, and it's a biblical tradition, that when we pray in Jesus' name. Don't we? We say that. We pray in Jesus' name because we're approaching God based on what Jesus did for us on the cross. But sometimes I think we forget what that phrase means, in Jesus' name. What does it mean to do something in Jesus' name? Whether it's prayer, or in this case, Peter says, "Rise up and walk in Jesus' name." Well, the phrase "in Jesus' name" means by the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. That's what the phrase means. So it also would encompass the will of Jesus. It is on the authority of Jesus, It is, is as an emissary of Jesus. It is for the purpose that Jesus has that I'm doing this thing. So when you and I pray in Jesus' name, that's not just a phrase that we add on to the end of our prayer like abracadabra that makes things happen. But what we are actually doing is we are praying under the authority of Jesus because of the blood of Jesus Christ that makes the way open to us to approach the throne of God. We could not approach God except for the blood of Jesus. So we, first of all, have been given authority because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But also we need to recognize that it is for the purposes of Jesus that I'm doing this thing. It is for the purpose of Jesus that I am praying. So that's why when we pray, sometimes James says, we have not because we ask not, and sometimes we ask and we ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. Sometimes we ask selfishly, just because we want our way. But folks, when we come in Jesus' name, we want Jesus' way. We want to do it for Jesus' sake. We want to do it to honor Jesus. So when Peter was reaching down, grabbing that man's hand, he wasn't just saying this like saying abracadabra. He wasn't just tacking this on as an add-on to what he was saying. He was saying, by the authority and the power and the will of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you to rise up and walk. Because Jesus had revealed to Peter, probably momentarily, but he had revealed to Peter that he was going to do something great through this miracle. It was a perfect situation for the miracle, and it was done in the perfect will of God. God does not heal everybody every time. He has different purposes for different situations. Sometimes He heals, sometimes He does not. But ultimately, if you know Jesus Christ, we're all going to be healed when we come into His presence. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more cancer, brother, no more lame feet, nothing when we come into His presence. We are going to be totally healed. But it's up to Him to decide what happens and when it happens. And when we say in Jesus' name, we're trusting that He is the one who has the authority to decide what needs to happen. And that's what Peter was doing. And in this case, Peter was reaching down. He grabbed this man's hand. Verse 7, it says he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not only was this the perfect situation for a miracle, it was the perfect miracle for this situation. The perfect miracle for this situation. God was accomplishing something here. Remember, this man is well known in town. Everybody knows who He is. Not only do they know who He is, but they have seen Him for over 40 years. Over 40 years. You mean to say that this man had to suffer with this illness, this deformity, whatever it was in his ankles and feet so that he could not walk. He had to suffer 40 years in this condition for the glory of God? Yes, He did. God allowed this to happen in His life, and He had a 40-year period of time, for over 40 years, where He went through this because God had a purpose on this day to accomplish what He was going to accomplish. You know, God is the one who knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly when we need it. He will accomplish His purposes. Who knows if this man could have ever received this as from Jesus Christ any time before this day? God had a plan for this man, and His plan was about to be executed. But it was not only for the good of this man. It was going to transform the city of Jerusalem, and it was going to transform the world. Because God was at work. God was at work. So this man was healed. And look at what he did. Verse 8. He did what we all should do when we are healed of our sin. when Jesus Christ forgives us, when He gives us a new life, when He comes into our life and transforms us, what should we do? We should celebrate. And we should celebrate so everybody knows. We should let everyone know. Look at what He did. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw Him walking and praising God. He interrupted a prayer meeting. They were about to have prayer meeting, and He broke that thing up because He came in praising God. He was breaking all kinds of traditions, folks. He was jumping up and down. He was raising His hands. They probably thought He was a Pentecostal. They didn't know what to do with this fella. He was all over the place. Why? Because he just got a dose of Jesus that changed his life. You realize this man in his entire life had never stood up? Never stood up. He'd never been able to walk. Never. Never been able to dance or jump or praise God. And now he's going to do it all right now because he found out what it was like to have the power of Jesus transform your life. His life had been transformed and everybody's going to know about it. He's going to make sure everyone knows. And they all do. They notice Him. They look and they see Him. And what do? Verse 10, when they knew it, they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to Him. That's why this is the last point, is that it's a perfect miracle for the Savior's message. Amen. A perfect miracle for the Savior's message. Why? Because they all knew who He was. They all knew who He was. They knew that this was a real miracle. There was no faking it. There was no behind-the-scenes kind of thing going on. No shenanigans here. This is the real deal. And everybody in town was a witness to it. Everybody was. Why is this so important? Well, Peter's going to preach. He's going to preach. Talk about a man that's been transformed. Just several months earlier, he had denied the Lord 3 times. And even cursed while he did it. And now every time his mouth opens, he talks about Jesus. Every time his mouth opens, he talks about the resurrection of Christ. And he was a witness of the resurrected Christ. And so this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for him to preach. It's an opportunity for him to let people know who did this. As a matter of fact, he starts right off, and we'll read all these following verses, but he starts right off, and everybody's looking at them. He says, hey, it's not us. Don't look at us as if you think by our own righteousness we have done this thing. We haven't done anything. This man is walking today because of the name of Jesus Christ. He is walking because Jesus healed him. This was done in the name of Jesus. This is not about us. It's about Jesus. Peter made sure everybody understood. There was no question. No question. When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He knew what that meant. That this was for the purpose of Christ. This miracle was for the purpose of Christ. Yes, this man received strength. He received the ability to walk. Now he can get a job. He can take care of his own needs. He doesn't have to have people take him to the temple gate anymore. He can do it all himself by the glory of God. His life has been changed. But folks, not only has his life been changed, thousands of lives have been changed because it was done in the name of Jesus. It was in the name of Jesus. And now the way has been paved for the message of the gospel. And that's what Peter does. He proclaims Christ. And he proclaims that Christ died on the cross. He doesn't pull any punches. He said, you crucified him. You crucified him. He died because you would rather have Barabbas than him. Pilate was ready to give him up. But no, you crucified him. But God had a plan. God had a plan. He was going to work through him being crucified to pay for your sins and for mine. And then he rose again the third day. And he is alive. And it's by his name that this man walks. And he is the Messiah. And so Peter said, now what you need to do is repent. You need to repent so that you too can have your sins forgiven. Your sins can be blotted out. That was the message that he preached. And folks, thousands got saved. Thousands. The Bible tells us in chapter 2 that the first message that Peter preached, there were 3,000 that were saved. And then it tells us in the end of chapter 2 that daily the Lord was adding to the church those that were being saved. And now in chapter 3, Peter preaches again a message that has drawn all these people, because of this man being healed, all these people have been drawn, and he's preaching the message again. And by the time we get to the latter part of this, or the middle of this chapter, we find out that the number of the men had come to be about 5,000. That's not counting the ladies. So the men with their families, there were thousands and thousands of lives that were transformed because of the name of Jesus. Question is, what are we doing in the name of Jesus? What are you and I doing in the name of Jesus? You say, well, I'm not like Peter. I don't have the gift of healing. Well, Peter didn't have any money. What did Peter do? He said, I don't have this, but I have that. What do you have? What do you have? What kind action can you perform in the name of Jesus? What loving deed can you do in the name of Jesus? What prayer can you pray in the name of Jesus? There are myriads of things that you can do in the name of Jesus. If you do it in the name of Jesus, you are doing it for His purposes, to accomplish His plan, to promote His kingdom, to proclaim His gospel, so that people will come to know Him. And if you and I are people who live in the name of Jesus, guess what? God will take care of the results. God will add the increase. God will save souls. God will change us. But folks, we need to be people who do it in the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to just be a miracle that has a message. You, if you're saved this morning, you are a walking miracle. And Jesus can use you. He can use you for His glory to accomplish His purpose, just like He did this man. You know what? We don't even know his name. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. How about you? We don't even know his name because God didn't give us his name. But we know his story. We know his story. We know his heart. We know the transformation that happened in his life. And the difference it made in the lives of countless others. Maybe it's made a difference in your life this morning. I hope it will. I hope it'll draw you closer to Savior. I hope it'll make you want to serve Him in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You.